Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Easter to you. I hope you're having a great day so far and a chocolate eggs for your breakfast and all that. I have myself my celebration egg here, and I was just struck this morning as I was thinking about Easter. I was thinking how our words don't actually match up to the power of the occasion. And sometimes even our singing doesn't quite reach the power of the occasion and the joy and the celebration that we should be having. And I wonder for some of us, you know, does Easter become about so much less than it should be? I mean, this is the great ground-shaking moment of history, and we seem to celebrate with chocolate eggs. A couple of days ago, Eliza said to me, she's my wee four-year-old, she said, "When is Chocolate Sunday? When is Chocolate Sunday?" And I kept on having to say to her, "It's actually Easter Sunday, love." And what happens at Easter Sunday? And then she remembered that Jesus rose again. But it's very easy for us to forget that, isn't it? But, you know, folks, it's so important that we remember when we're eating our eggs today that they're hollow for a reason. Okay, I don't want you to do what I saw being advertised on the internet for sale, which is they cut Easter eggs in two and fill them with cheesecake, and you can get Easter egg cheesecake. Because no, these eggs need to be hollow, because we need to remember that the tomb was empty. And as you crack open your egg today, remember that, the hollow egg, because the tomb was really empty. And as you eat your chocolate and taste its sweetness, I want you never to forget that there is nothing sweeter than the empty tomb. There's nothing sweeter than what we're celebrating today. And I want to think about this a little bit today. And I suppose more specifically, I want to think about that stone that was rolled away. You know, it's interesting when you read the account in Matthew 28, it's good to look as well at what Matthew 27 says, because what we understand is that there are actually three reasons why it's going to be really difficult for those women on Easter Sunday morning to tend to Jesus' body with these spices. There's at least three reasons. The first is that a big massive stone has been rolled in the way. A big stone has been rolled in the way, and they're thinking, how are we going to move this stone? The second reason, which we all know about, is that there were soldiers placed in front of that stone, four that would have worked in shifts to make sure that nobody got to that tomb. But thirdly, a thing we sometimes miss is that the tomb was also sealed. And it would have been sealed with a wax Roman seal, which is a bit like that police tape they put over a crime scene to make sure that if the door is open, the seal would be broken, the wax would be broken. And if that wax was broken, people knew that the Roman seal meant it was punishable by death. So there were three big obstacles as they came to that tomb on that day. But you know, there's some little things that I want you to discover about this chief obstacle of the stone. The first is this, that the obstacle was moved. It was moved. When they arrived at the tomb, it was moved. And it's symbolic of an obstacle that is removed, a prison door that is opened. And it is the door, the obstacle of the grave. See, what it means is that the death which we have feared for so long, that last enemy of death, has been defeated, and the stone has been rolled away, and the way to eternity is open. That's what the movement of this stone means. I'm sure we've all enjoyed a Kinder surprise in our life. I love a Kinder surprise. It's really interesting. When Eliza gets a Kinder surprise, she pulls off the chocolate, sets it aside, because the key thing for her is playing with this little toy. For me, it's completely the opposite. I would take the chocolate, I would dump the toy, and I would eat the chocolate. That, to me, is the main point. But Kinder surprise, it's a wee reminder, isn't it, of the surprise of the resurrection. But remember, Kinder is the German word for children. And it's very important that we don't think that Easter is just for children. It's for us all. heard a wee story about a man and his five-year-old son were driving past a graveyard, and the wee boy noticed a pile of dirt sitting next to a freshly dug grave, and he said, "Look, Dad, one of them got out." Now, next time you drive past a cemetery, think about the one whom the grave could not hold. But here's the key thing I want you to see. Why was that stone moved? Some of you might say because that is how Jesus got out. Absolutely wrong. It's not how Jesus got out. Totally the opposite, in fact. He was already out. He passed through it. No, the stone was moved for the sole purpose that we could look in. It was moved for the sole purpose that we could look in. The grave couldn't hold him. The stone couldn't hold him. No, the stone was moved so that we could look in and see the most amazing show. There's a famous movie, which is pretty popular in these days, about The Greatest Showman. Well, let me tell you, the greatest spectacle there's ever been was when that stone was rolled away and those women went in. The women who had seen a body being laid and Joseph of Arimathea laying it in that tomb, all wrapped up, then they saw the greatest spectacle, the greatest show, as they walked into that tomb and saw where he was laid. I love a song by a singer called Corey Ashbury, and it's a song called "Death, Where Is Your Sting?" Listen to these words. "Behold the vacant tomb that held our Lord. That grave became a stage for heaven's glory." That grave became a stage. The stone was rolled away to reveal the spectacle that death has been defeated, that he is not there, he is risen, and the way to glory is open for all those who would follow Jesus. That's the first thing, an obstacle removed. The second thing is it was like an Ebenezer erected. An Ebenezer erected. I don't know if you know a story in 1 Samuel chapter 7, where Israel have defeated the Philistines, and Samuel takes a stone, and he sets it, and calls the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "The Lord hath helped us." And here we know that song, "Come thou fount of every blessing." It says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." See, the Ebenezer is a tradition in the Old Testament. When God did something amazing, they would set a big stone or a pile of stones up to remind themselves of this amazing miracle. And that is what that stone does for us. The women saw that stone and realized God has done something amazing. You know, this morning at our dawn service, we sang a song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Folks, never go beyond this stone. Never forget that this is like an Ebenezer, a reminder of the power of our God and the lengths that he went to save us, to have us to himself in heaven for all eternity. Remember that stone as you eat it. Thirdly, a rock to rest on. See, we can miss this, can't we? The angel rolls away this stone, okay? The ground shakes as he rolls away this stone, and then he sits on it. Isn't that interesting? He sits on it. He rests on it. You know, I heard somebody say recently, I loved it. If you ask somebody, "Are you going to heaven?" and they say something that sounds really humble, they say, "I hope so. I hope so." But you know what? It's actually not very humble at all, because what it essentially says is, "I hope that I have done enough to get my way into heaven. I hope I have. I'm certainly better than the boy down the road. I hope I have done enough." No, 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 no. No, if you want to be humble, you say, "Yes, I am, because Jesus Christ has done it for me. And now I rest on what he's done." You see, so many people are trying to ascend the mountain, try to get to heaven all by themselves. That's not what we do. We sit on the resurrection. We sit on what Jesus has done for us. I love the words of an old hymn. I wrote them in my Bible years ago. It's a hymn called "It Is Finished." Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing, all was done long, long ago. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet, and sit on his finished work on the cross and through the empty tomb. Fourthly and finally, it's one of two things, this stone. It's either the foundation stone of your life, or it's a stumbling block to trip on. If you don't build on the resurrection, you trip over it. Do you believe that Christ rose? If he didn't rise, where it says in the Bible, we're all morons. What are we doing here if he didn't rise? But if he did, it's the most important thing that ever happened. No wonder the ground shook. I love a story of a British minister by the name of Sangster. And he started to lose his voice and his mobility in the 1950s. He had a disease that caused progressive muscular atrophy. And he recognized that the end was near, so he threw himself into writing and praying. And in the midst of his suffering, he prayed to God, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but at least give me a regiment to lead." Sangster's voice eventually failed completely. His legs became useless. On an Easter Sunday morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen. And he shakily wrote his daughter a letter, and in it he said this: "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen!' But it would be so much worse, so much more terrible, to have a voice and not want to shout it." You get it? It's terrible to want to shout, "He is risen," and not be able. But wouldn't it be terrible to have a voice and not want to shout it? It's either a foundation of your life or a stumbling block, this stone from the front of the tomb. So folks, take your Easter egg today. Take it and remember it's hollow to remind you that the tomb is empty. It's sweet to remind you that there's nothing sweeter than his victory. The sweet victory over death and sin, the sweet reality of death defeated, the sweet reminder of the reality of salvation, the rest of assurance, the rock on which we should build our lives. You know, finally, I read something on the BBC News website just this morning, and it was telling that Easter egg sales have soared 50%. Yeah, they've been splashing out customers on Easter as they prepare for celebrations in eased lockdown restrictions, apparently. And they've climbed £48 million this year. Isn't that incredible? But Thornton's said that they had seen a 200% rise in sales online compared to 2019 before the pandemic began. They say customers are purchasing extra special treats for loved ones, like handcrafted Easter eggs, while more people than ever are wanting icing messages written on Easter eggs. Here's what's happening, folks. The difficulty of this pandemic means that there's a special sharing happening. And can I encourage you, if you're a person who knows that the prison door has been opened by the rolling away of this stone, if you're a person who knows that an Ebenezer has been erected, if you're a person who is resting on this rock, a person who has laid this as the foundation of their lives, there's never been a better time to share. There's never been a better time to share. And in fact, this message is too good not to share. I pray that you enjoy your Easter eggs today, but I pray you know a deeper meaning than ever before. Amen.